Let's look over in Luke, the 23rd chapter. And in the 31st verse. This is where Jesus is being led up to be crucified. And there was a great company of people and women which bewailed and lamented him. And he paused for a moment, turned and spoke to them. And in the end of his speaking, 31st verse, he says, "For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" So that's kind of the verse the Lord brought to our mind to start the thought off today. And the thought is, a moment in time. You know, our life is made up of moments. We could say, you know, that every second of every day is a moment and all. And so that's one way to kind of think about this. But we also use that for meaning a moment of significance, a moment of decision, a moment of choice, a moment of opportunity. And I believe the word shows us that there are these moments of opportunity that come to us in life. You know, we have an ability to open the door to them. John, when John was prophesying about Jesus coming, he's talking about John was the one who was the voice crying in the wilderness to make the way of the Lord plain, to make it straight, to prepare yourselves for the Lord to come. So we have a place to allow these moments into our lives. They're not just subject to just environment, so to speak, and that's not really the word I'm looking for. But we have an opportunity to open the door to them in our lives and have moments where the Lord comes to us and we have these opportunities. But regardless of what we do, all mankind has these moments of opportunity with the Lord. And, you know, excuse me, these people here who were marching to this crucifixion, this was a moment in time for them. This was a pretty significant moment. God was about as close to them in a way as they would ever be. Jesus Christ is walking, carrying a cross right in front of them, and he's the focus of everybody's attention in this moment. And, you know, there were those who were bewailing the moment, and there was those who were reveling in this moment and for the evil of it. But they all had this moment, this opportunity, and Jesus said, you know, you're crying for me, but just think, if in this moment when I'm so close and so near to everyone and there's such an opportunity, they've heard me speak, and this is the results of the way they take this moment and use it in life, think what will happen when I'm not here. He's telling them to be well for themselves. And this is one of the thoughts as we move through these moments, is these moments are not vacuums in our life. I don't know if we don't get hold of anything else today. That's kind of one of the big burdens. The moments we have, where moments of clarity, moments where God just puts his finger on some things, moments where he comes near, these are not moments of vacuum. They're not. By that I mean they're not moments that just appeared and disappear and life continues the same way it always has. This is not the case. These moments we have of clarity with the Lord where he draws near and he puts his finger on things, there are moments that are about to determine how the rest of our life is going to play out. They're going to have an effect on it. And not that we don't ever have a chance. If we take one of these moments and we make a mistake, one of the greatest things and amazing things about the Lord are these moments of mercy. But we don't know when we're going to get another moment. And we don't know what heartache refusing the Lord in a moment and choosing the wrong side of this moment, we don't know what heart that might bring, and we don't know if we'll ever have another moment of clarity like that. Where will we go? We're human. When we make a decision to go a certain way, we bend towards that. We're habitual in our activities. We give ourselves to things. That's why it says, give yourselves to the Lord. Commit to Him, because you're going to give yourself to something as you come to moments in your life. And so taking that moment and not seeing it for what it is and not taking the opportunity, it bends us in a certain direction. Everyone here who was crying, crucifying and crucifying Him, well, there was opportunities for repentance. There was given opportunities to many of them, but that bends you in a certain direction. You're not just in a vacuum. You're turning somewhere. You're turning towards something. And so we want to get a hold of how important these moments are, and to have these moments of clarity and to value them, and to say, Lord, this is a moment where Your intention is that this moment would bend my heart to You. Can you imagine those who were in the middle of a crowd of screaming people who were screaming, crucify Him, crucify Him, and yet they were wailing for this man that everyone else wanted to crucify? Do you know, I don't know what all that did in their life, but one thing for sure, I'm not sure there was another moment they were intimidated by, or at least there were a lot of moments that they might have been intimidated by, they were no longer intimidated by, because you know what, I was there one of the hardest places you've ever seen to say, that's Him, you know, to speak up for Christ, to choose Christ, and I did. You know, value in those moments when they come along, and letting the Lord bend us in the direction that He's looking to bend us in. It's almost like we've seen some silversmiths or maybe some iron workers, and they heat something up, and they take something, they put it, and there comes a moment where they start bending it into shape, into the shape they're trying to make. And it all happens because of the moments that have occurred in that piece. And of course, it's given to their control, and so they're able to bend it and work it and put it through the fire, put it through the different situations. There's a point where they dip it in cooling water, I think. I don't know the whole process. I've just seen it. But all these come to them bending and preserving this item they're trying to make into something, into what it needs to be. So the moments in your life are the Lord trying to bend you, trying to take you and make you what you need to be. And if we withhold ourselves from His hand in those moments, well, there's things that didn't happen that at some point going to have to work and happen again in our life, that we're at the very least, we're hindering the work of the Lord in our life and preventing Him from moving us on to greater things and bigger things He wants to do in our life. I wanted to look at a few people who had these moments that we have recorded. Acts 24. Acts 24, and let's look at Felix first. 24 and the 24th verse of the 24th chapter. Now, Felix was the governor. He was the one who was there at first when Paul was put in prison. And in the 24th verse, it said certain days. Now, I'll kind of get ahead of the verses here a little bit. We'll read it. But Felix had some ulterior motives in what he's about to do. He realizes that there's some opportunity here in this world for him. And that's kind of what he's looking at. So unbeknownst to him, he kind of creates a moment that he got a lot more than he bargained for. All right? It wasn't what he was really heading for. But it said certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him, whereof he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to shew the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. And so we see this ulterior motive. He said, well, Paul's got some money. But it, unbeknownst to him, he created a moment here where Paul reasoned with him, and he said he trembled. The Lord was looking to bend Felix. There was something great, just as when Jesus was walking that road and these people were young, crucified, and yet there he was right here, as close as he'll ever be. And you can actually see him in the flesh. And what are you doing with this moment? Felix is at one of those moments again. Wasn't really what he was expecting, but all of a sudden, as Paul reasoned with him, he began to tremble, and something was reaching deeper. He's all out here in this world, and all of a sudden somebody's reaching down past that world to things he maybe never even knew really existed, but they were touching his heart, and he was, there's something going on here. And yet, it was for all of that, and for the times that he brought Paul back in, we don't ever see that he ever took advantage of that opportunity. Well, it bent him in a certain direction. We don't have record of Festus ever coming back, Felix ever coming to the Lord at all. He could have been, it could have been amazing, amazing thing in his life. Look back at the king of Nineveh. Wicked, wicked, wicked. But there came a moment, and Jonah came and preached to him. Someone whose heart wasn't even really in it and wasn't really looking for the king of Nineveh's best interest at all, but yet was preaching the word of God. And God was working to bring a moment to this king, and he heard it. And we don't know what all happened, but we know that he listened, and he let the Lord bend them in that moment. They humbled themselves, and they repented, and the Lord saw that they truly repented from the heart. And he saved them, and he preserved that whole city he was about to destroy. There, these moments with the Lord are so significant. When we see him touching our heart, bending our heart, when you feel that trembling inside of you, you need to listen to him. You need to move in that moment. And I'm not just talking about it. If it's for salvation, then move for salvation. But you know what? The Lord speaks to his people, and there's moments where we tremble. His people walking with him. He comes along, and we have another moment with him. And you know, it's hanging in the balance right there. What are we going to do? Are we going to listen to him and let him bend us in the direction he's trying to go? As he's trying to make us into that tool, into that perfect vessel that he wants to store in heaven with him forever. Are we going to let him do that? Are we going to take those moments and listen? Are we going to ignore them? And maybe like Felix, just keep talking to the Lord about it for 2 years. And then the moment's gone. The Lord stretched it out as far as, and it's gone. And where are we headed? We don't know. Here we have no more record of Felix and to where he hit. Maybe we could find something out if we research some history books or something. But point being, this time was over. It's done. What happened? What happened? We never see where he took advantage of what the Lord was trying to do in his life. You know, and follow this story on. This is still about Paul, but we turn over here to the 26th chapter now. Festus has come into the power there, and this has all happened, and Paul has appealed to Caesar at this point. And so after he's appealed to Caesar, King Agrippa comes, and Agrippa was someone who had a lot of knowledge about the things of the Jews and all. And so let's pick up this story in the 27th verse of this 26th chapter. And I'm sorry, I need to turn over one. Okay. And Paul, that Paul has started speaking, and he tells the whole story here in the 26th verse to 26th chapter to Agrippa. And it comes down to the 27th, and he says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest them. See, Agrippa's in a little different position. Felix was not someone who had really read the prophets and had any maybe interest at all in them or had any knowledge of them, but Agrippa was quite different. Agrippa had read the prophets. What this means was he was a student of the Word of God. All right? And so he says, believest thou the prophets? I know you believe them. You don't just read them. You believe they truly were the prophets of God. So you see what we're talking about, how it's not just for the moment of salvation, but it's for us as we grow in the Lord and as we know more and more about Him. All right? Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Almost. Paul, I hear what you're saying. It's not something I've ever really considered before. You're almost persuading me that you're right, that this is what I need to do. Well, Paul says, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I'm, except not these bonds. I don't wish for my physical, but for my spiritual place and the happiness and joy I have. It's my desire that everyone here would have this. King Agrippa, it's right here. You're hearing words that could change your life. And they're going to change your life. Because you're going to make a decision in this moment whether you're going to be bent the way the Lord's trying to bend you into the tool that He's trying to make you into being, or you're going to refuse that. And ultimately, we say, well, I've got worth for this and that. The Lord's making us into something for eternity. And to refuse that is to be hopeless. Refuse it for salvation, or refuse it as He works in our life as a Christian. We want to listen and allow the Lord to bend us into what He's trying to do in our life. And so he says, and when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, the governor and Bernice and they that sat with him. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doth nothing worthy of death or bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. And I went on and read the rest of it to see that all this happened. And I would have loved to see in the rest of this chapter where Agrippa said this and then said, and now send him to me. I need to talk more with Paul. There's something here. Well, I know as I listen to him, he's not some crazy man with a story that's impossible. Things are adding up. I want to delve into this more. I want to see more. But that's not what we see. We see someone who just returned to normal life and said he could have been set free and then went on about his business. Just did what man had the moment set up for. Festus wanted him to hear Paul. And it was already set up Paul was going to Caesar. But there was so much more in this moment that was an opportunity for Agrippa. And yet we don't see that he took advantage of that at all. Acts, the 8th chapter. And the 26th verse, it says, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning, sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. You remember what I said, that you can take advantage, you can create. You can't really create the moment in the sense of God making it something, but you can give opportunity. You can make the path clear. We talked about that before. Even before I really have the knowledge of everything I need to, I can be making decisions by doing what I do know to do, by taking advantage of the opportunities I do have, giving the Lord an open path to come to me. And you know, that's what this guy was doing. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and coming back, he was reading Isaiah, and he didn't understand anything he was reading. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't just put it aside and set it down and go, oh, well. He was still reading it and looking and trying to delve into more, trying to understand, trying to grow in what the Lord had put in his hands, all right? And you know what? In his mind, it might have seemed like an impossible thing, but the Lord had a moment waiting for him. He had a moment that this Ethiopian had no knowledge of. It wasn't why he wasn't doing something, because he thought, well, Philip's coming. I'm going to get as much of this in my head as I can before Philip comes, and then when he comes, I'll be ready for him. He just had something there the Lord had made available to him, and he had no idea the Lord was bringing a moment to him. Do you know how many times in life, we talked this morning about not being weary and well-doing. How we're just being faithful, just to read and pray. And sometimes we go through days, we're like, Lord, I just feel like I'm just not, sometimes, especially when we're young in Him, it can feel like a rut. But even as we get older, we feel like, you know, I love the Lord, His joy is new, but it's like I'm waiting for something. Maybe in my life, I need a new refreshing, or I need something. I don't know exactly what I need. What do I do? Do I take those moments and just get tired of just doing what I'm supposed to do day by day and spending my time with the Lord and remembering that life is about Him, remembering to open that door to Him day by day and just waiting? We never know the moment the Lord has waiting for us.
Yes.
Because we're just faithful. I wonder if this guy, if he hadn't gone to Jerusalem, would God have sent Philip to Ethiopia? He could have, but the lesson of the story is this guy went to where the best he knew where the Lord was and where he could worship the Lord. And when he was there, he got a hold of something from that place and he was reading it. And Isaiah is a pretty significant book to be reading about the Messiah coming and all, okay? He was reading a big book, and he didn't understand it, but he was delving into it, and the Lord had a moment coming. And it says, as man was returning, sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot, this one right here. No happen chance to it. God said, this one, he came all the way from Ethiopia just to worship me. And you know, he's here, he's got this book and he's been reading it. And how far has he been coming back from Jerusalem? And he's still reading the book. And I know him. I know that none of it's making sense to him. And he's still reading it because it's about me. Philip, go join yourself to this chariot. You know, the Lord's waiting to do that in your life. Go send his Spirit to this one right here. Because I see what he's doing. I know he's read that book over and over. I know she's read that passage over and over. And she just keeps going back to it. And doesn't really all fit together yet for her or him. Okay. Now I'm going to send my Spirit. Go to this one right here. He's not just throwing the Spirit around happen chance. He's looking to see, would man search after him? As it talks about in Acts 17. And if he would, that he would be near to them. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Everyone gets moments with the Lord, opportunities to make a decision. But when we set our hearts to draw nigh to him, he comes close to us. He comes close to us to come down in those moments and help us understand, to help us take those steps up in our life that bring joy and stability and peace into our lives. He comes near to us to do those things. And so it says, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some men should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And so it says, the place in the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Philip not only was able to explain this to him, he said, I was there. I was there. I know this man. I know who he was. And he was able to share with him. And so Philip, in the 35th verse, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. Moment in time. This was meant for a very specific purpose, and it's finished now, and it's gone. But you let the Lord use it for what it was meant to be. And it says he went on his way rejoicing. This is where the joy in our life comes, is from allowing the Lord that space in our life. And when those moments come, listening to him, letting him, setting our heart to draw nigh to him, seeking him and allowing him in those moments to bend us in whatever direction he's wanting to go. And we can be like the, I'm thinking about things, but letting him bend us the way he wants us to go. And when we allow that to happen, we go on our way rejoicing. I just thought about, just came to mind about a Legion and how Legion wanted to go with Christ. Lord, I want to stay with you. Your moment, this moment has happened, Legion. What's happened that needed to happen has happened in this moment. And now Legion, which we don't have his new name, he definitely had a different name, I'm positive after that. Or he may have said, look, y'all, I'm Legion. They're gone. They're totally gone. I don't know what this man went on saying, but the point is, his moment happened and it changed his life. And he went on telling all of his people, and many believed because of what he said to them. All right, so taking these moments and letting the Lord do what he wants to do in them. It says in Hebrews, the third chapter, and the third verse, it says, for this man, speaking of Jesus, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Moses, when it says in this next verse, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony for those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we. Moses was a testimony. All these things that were written for him were for a testimony, but we have the mind of Christ. We have the Lord with us now today. We have what it was all about. The Lord with us to teach us, to guide us, direct us by his Spirit. And we are his house. And he is building us. He is molding us. He is shaping us. There are moments he picks up a tool to do a very specific purpose in our life. There are moments he bends something in a certain direction for a very specific purpose in our life. It's not just getting the foundation. We have to have the foundation. But then the Lord has all kinds of things he wants to build on top of that foundation. It's about salvation. Let the Lord take that moment, make it what it's supposed to be. But even more today, it's about all the moments after that, that the Lord's going to come by in our life and have a moment to do something. Lord, help us. We're making decisions about what he's able to do in our life. When we try to say, but Lord, and you know the ways we resist him, We can sit and talk about them and then go out in life and not realize that we're practicing the opposite of what we should be sometimes. Lord, help us not to resist the Lord. The Lord has given us understanding to recognize him, to recognize the way he speaks to our heart. Do you feel humbled by something that the Lord is putting his finger on your life? Don't try to ignore it. Don't try to stand against it. Humble yourself and he will lift you up. All right. That's the choice you have. If we as Christians sit here and we resist what the Lord's trying to do, if we refuse, if we try to explain it away, if we try to determine, I know there's a whole thing out there about, it's the devil trying to tear down conviction. One of the most valuable things to us as Christians is conviction. It's the Lord being able to touch our heart. And if we don't humble ourselves and say, Lord, you know, I need help, then we're not letting the Lord do what he's came to do, what he's here to do in our life, what we exist for him to do. Where the glory comes from, where the peace, where the rejoicing all comes from, we're resisting it. Lord, help us to yield to it in our life. And you know, the Lord knows how. The Lord knows you. I could look at you and say, well, you're resisting the Lord. I don't know. I could tell you that's the way I resist the Lord. Maybe I could say that, but that wouldn't even necessarily be true in your life. We know. Nobody can tell you. You're going to have to spend time with the Lord and learn to humble your heart. in those moments and let him bend you the way he wants to go. It's not about what I think about your life. It's not. I could think you're just fine or I could think you're not. But the Lord knows. And the Lord can, you can let him work or you can stand against him. Lord, help us. Today it says, wherefore is the Holy Ghost, but Christ is a son of his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore is the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice. You know, this word today, we're going to read it again in a moment, but it means basically now. Now is the time. Now is the moment you have. This is your moment in time to decide what you're going to do. Are you going to let the Lord bend you in the direction that he's looking to do, or are you not? Now is the time when you're deciding that. All right? It says on in the 12th verse, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. As a Christian, you're deciding whether you're going to stay on this path or not. And the way we stay on it is now, in this moment, today, not hardening in our hearts, not resisting conviction, not resisting the Lord putting his finger on things in our life, but letting it happen, letting him do that in our life, letting the results come of what he's working at and what he's doing. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, what it is called today, now, in this time, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We're bent one way or another. As a Christian, if I'm resisting the hand of the Lord in my life, it's bending me away from him. It's going to bend me away. Lord, help us. Lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold fast, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. What is our confidence? It's our confidence the day we got saved, we're good and there's nothing else that needs to happen in our life. That's a confidence, but that's not the confidence the Lord's talking about. The confidence I have is the verse that says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You know what that means? I've committed. I'm not defending. I'm already yielded. That was my confidence. I came and yielded myself to Christ. You want to say there's something that he needs to do in my life? Then let the Lord do it. Because I'm already yielded to him. This isn't me standing up saying, I'm okay. I'm all right. There's nothing that needs to happen in my life. This is me yielded to Christ to say, yeah, probably is. Let the Lord do what he's going to do. He promised to build me into a part of his sanctuary. He promised to build me personally, but also together with his people. We have that in Ephesians, I believe it is, where he speaks to that. All right? And so exhort, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. Today, now. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the accepted time. The accepted means well received. Now is the moment God set up. Now's the moment that Paul's, so to speak, God's got Paul speaking to you. Now's the moment that he sent Philip to your chariot. Now's the moment that he sent his spirit to speak to your heart. Let him do what he's trying. Listen to him. Humble ourselves. We've yielded ourselves to the Lord. Let's keep ourselves in his hands. Let's let him do the work. Let's not try to defend or stand for ourselves in any manner, but let's let the Lord do what he's trying to do. Let's stay humble and low before him. Ecclesiastes 12, the final verse there. Remember now thy creators in the days of thy youth. Now, right now, in this moment. Before this moment becomes old, before it becomes history. Now, remember him now. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And he goes on and speaks to a lot more there in those passages that we could stand to read. But let's take advantage now of what the Lord is doing. Don't let it get old. Don't let, you know, Felix let it go on for 2 years. He was trembling when Paul spoke to him that first night. I wondered how many more times, even though he listened to Paul, how many more times did he actually tremble? Maybe there were more. But Felix, let that moment get old. Let's not let it get old. Let's be like the Ethiopian who said, hey, here's water. What's keeping me from being baptized? What's keeping me from this moment, from doing this, that the Lord would have me to do? You pray for me.